This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Hope that you are having a good time. I imagine a lot of folks getting out for lunch or what have you. Appreciate you doing that. If you don't know, I got a little gift for you. His name is B. Scott. He's in for the OG John Lopez. And then also Figgy Fig, always still here. And B. Scott, they not with you on that. They said these old people need to go retire. All right, stop calling these games.
All right, y'all don't have no respect for your elders. Hey. I understand. It's okay.
Get out of here, Jim Lampley.
Let me be the only one raised right around here. That's fine.
We need more Spiro Didis.
I want to know, who do y'all like? Who do they like? If you want the Mike Breens and stuff out of here.
Yeah, in the basketball space, it's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Like, because some of these guys are incredible. But yeah, who are the young guys? I mean, maybe Spiro Didis, who was on the call for Rockets Warriors yesterday, and he's not going to be, because it's going to be on ESPN on Friday, but I was like, if he was on again, it wouldn't hurt. Like, keep everything the same.
Yes.
After an incredible victory over the Warriors.
Mark Jones?
Yeah. For me, and maybe again, I think I was getting a little bit sentimental, but the voices that I'm, and Lampley, I think falls in this line, and it, boxing is more specific in this way, but the voices that I like and the voices that I'm comfortable with, I'm willing to go with those. I think I am getting at that age where, and figure you as a music guy can maybe even appreciate this. I know you listen to new music, but I'm like, I think I'm at that age where I'm only really wanting to listen to the songs that I already know.
Oh, you're out of the new find. I always find that fascinating, right? What is the age at which you are no longer discovering? You are simply operating with what you already know.
And it's fine. Like, I am cool with discovering, but I also still prefer protect your neck.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
over whatever it is.
I'm kind of at that age now, too. Like, it take me a lot to get outside of my regular bag. Because a lot of the times people be like, oh, have you heard this new artist? And I'm just like, I don't feel like trying to find a new artist or listen. I like to listen to what I know makes me comfortable. Yes. It gets me hype.
Yeah, it's like, what you mean this new artist from this new music from this new artist? This Big Crit is right here. What are you talking about?
Forever's a mighty long time,
man. I'm good, baby. Come on, man. I got this Devin the Dude, this Scarface in here jamming. I don't know what you're talking about.
It get to a point, man. I realize I listen to like the same 8 songs.
Oh, it can't be 8. That's
more, it's more than 8.
So yeah, I'm guessing y'all, well, actually, I've kind of moved out of this over the last year or so, but y'all not waiting for New Music Friday, I guess, is what I'm hearing.
I am willing to participate in it. I'm just not waiting for it.
If it's my artist, an artist that I'm comfortable with, then I would check out the new stuff, but it's just a new artist, like different type of artist. Be like, oh, you got to check him. I'm just like, like I don't feel like it right now.
I mean,
now.
I'm still on Hip Hop DX, which is where I get my new releases from, and I see them.
God, that's so backpacker.
Yeah.
So backpacker.
I'm still with it. I'm just like, oh, you know what, though? I see that new release, but I'm going to go jam that old one.
Okay.
Oh, Benny the Butcher's got something new out. Ooh. But you know what? I liked what he put out back in 2018. So I'm good.
Okay. Oh, wow. We got 38. Unless I'm put on, I never find new stuff. And from the 512, hip hop and rap sucks now. I think it's a flooded market.
People been saying that for like 20 years.
That's
now,
true,
man.
That might be the ultimate indicator that you are old. And I don't say that
hip-hop
with judgment.
Hip-hop is dead.
Yeah, depending on what you're listening to. And I know we're on the radio, but I think radio's got a lot to do with that.
We don't got time to break that
down.
I'm
just saying, sometimes we're not giving you the best of.
What we do have time to break down. Talking about a new Music Friday, new Hoop Friday, as the Rockets still in this thing in the first round versus the Warriors. It is a Friday night extravaganza, Game 6 in San Francisco. The Rockets will go again, Game 6. Game 5 was fun, though. Did Game 5 make you feel more confident about their chances in Game 6, especially as they return back on the road? Like, it felt like they found a comfort in the confines of Toyota Center. What are the things that you think are sustainable and translate back to Game 6?
It made me feel more confident just in the sense that I wasn't confident at all going into the game that they would win it. Like, I figured that the Golden State Warriors had figured the Rockets out, and the Rockets, at least for all of the matchup advantages that I've been saying since before the series started, for all of the matchup advantages that I felt like they had, I did not feel like they had figured the Warriors out. And so given that, and given how, look, they had their opportunities to win and couldn't figure it out in Golden State, I didn't feel great about their chances going into last night's game. Based off of how they played on both ends of the floor yesterday or last night, it's hard to ignore the way that it seems like this series could have easily turned if they stay true to some of the things that they did. And what are those things? Number one, the defense on Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler, that's the biggest thing, Reggie, that I'm looking to see how much of this can transfer to Golden State, because I don't expect them to shoot as poorly as they did in this game.
Or as well as they did in this game, I'm guessing you mean.
No.
Oh, the Warriors shooting. Got you.
I don't expect, let me be clear, I don't expect Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler to perform offensively as poorly as they did in Game 5.
I'm following you now.
However, I do believe that the defense that Amen Thompson is playing on Steph Curry and the overall team defense that they're playing on Steph Curry, I should say, and the individual defense that Dylan Brooks is playing on Jimmy Butler are things that are sustainable, even if they're not sustainable to the level that they were in Game 5. So I'm wanting to see, what is the give and take? What is the variance? What is the difference between the excellent performance that we saw in Game 5 and what I don't feel like can expect to be the exact same in Game 6, but will they have enough to handle it? And then the other part, so that's on defense. Offensively, we saw from the start of the game, this team being decisive, moving the ball around, reading the defense well, themselves moving around. That's something that they did in this game. That's something that they did a good job, I thought, in Game 2. I think Jalen Green is somebody that's not going to get enough credit for this past game because he didn't have a big scoring output and he got injured a little bit and didn't play as much. But I thought he did a good job of helping set the tone in this game.
Can I press pause real quick?
Go ahead.
How concerned are you about the Jalen Green knock, right? It's a knee. That's a very vital part of an explosive gentleman. He ended up getting back in that game and playing. And, I mean, it seemed like he was fine. I imagine that in any circumstance, a dude's going to wipe away. Any concerns about that? Is that how you feel just generally?
So I'm concerned about the impact that it's going to have on him. Not concerned about whether it's going to keep him out, because this is, you know, for as skinny as he is and for all the jokes that people might have about, this has been sort of an iron. This guy's not soft. Like, you might want to think that, but he's not. He plays every game for the most part, plays through pain and injury. So I do expect him to play. I do wonder, to your point, the explosion, a guy that relies on, like, that being his mismatch, his athleticism, the fact that it's so difficult to stay in front of him. I do wonder if that's going to hamper him at all, especially given that you only, even for a young guy, that you only get the one day to rest. So yeah. I am worried about that. But as far as Game 5 goes, I thought you saw a much, much better version of him. Is he going to be able to do that on the road? And I keep going back to how much he has struggled over time against the Warriors. Has he figured something out? Or has he simply, like, just slowed it down a little bit? I talked to him about this after Game 1, after he had a disastrous Game 1 before he responds in Game 2, talking about just taking my time. This is a quote from him. I've got to take my time. He seems to be doing that a little bit more. So can he take that to the road? I don't feel like we've seen enough of it. And this injury is going to be kind of an interesting caveat on how much is that going to limit him. But just overall as a team, though, it's not just Jalen Green. Mm-hmm. It's them overall as a team not feeling like they've got a whole lot of answers or ideas on exactly what to do or what they're trying to accomplish on a given possession.
Can I tell you the thing that, I mean, there's one thing that's very obvious that is not sustainable from the Rockets perspective, and that is shooting the ever-living you-know-what out of the basketball. At half, they were shooting 69.4% from the field, which is decidedly very nice, and then 60% from deep. In that, like, you look at the shot chart where you look at the various different shot zones
yep.
against league average, they were more than 10% above average in every spot except for the right corner. Like, they were shooting the lights out. And I think one of the things that does, especially, I know Ime was talking about this after the game. Apologies, Figgy, that I didn't ask for the audio here, because Ime was asked about, like, what, you know, helped their defense. It's like, hey, man, making them get the ball out of the net as opposed to getting rebounds, getting in transition. Like, what happens, or how do you see this playing, especially on the road here, if you're not going to shoot, and I don't think you are going to shoot so well as to where the offense then applies a level of pressure to the Warriors even also allowing you to get back and set up defensively in the half court, like what shifts in getting maybe Steph Curry going or getting Jimmy Butler going if they're having more transition opportunities?
Yeah, it's what makes the matchup so fascinating to me, because we just identified two things that feel anomalous. It is a really hot shooting Rockets night and a really poor shooting combined between their top two players and Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. Both things feel anomalous. Like, you don't feel like you can rely on the Rockets to shoot lights out on a night-to-night basis, and you don't feel comfortable with the idea of Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler struggling to the degree that they did. However, you do feel like the defense that the Rockets play is very real. So here's my question. Are they going to be able to, and I think that there's a chance that they could, and I'll be interested to watch this tomorrow night, but is Amen Thompson disrupting Steph Curry's dribble the way that he was early on in that game, causing him to be, I don't want to even say careless with the ball, but sort of just forcing the issue and just being special and dynamic in the way that he is, forcing turnovers, 5 steals in the first half. I don't know if I can expect Amen Thompson to have 5 steals, but is his defense similarly disruptive, even if Steph Curry is making a few more shots than he was? And I do feel like the Warriors, not just Steph Curry, but multiple Warriors missed some pretty good looks last night, and that worked in the Rockets' advantage. But what happens when, even if the defense is sustainable, and I believe it is, what happens when Steph Curry's making a few more shots and those same shots that were going down for you at Toyota Center are not necessarily going down for you at Chase Center? Do you start to kind of deviate and go away from what was working and what clearly works offensively, yeah, and start leaning back into your bad habits? Or do you stick with it and read what the Warriors are doing? And also, are you able to kind of withstand the inevitable Steph Curry run or inevitable Warriors run that you can expect to happen at some point at Chase Center?
Right. I think I lean towards them finding a level of calm. I think that has been a large undercurrent in this series for the Rockets, is finding a level of calm within the storm that is playoff basketball, with all of the emotions and energy and, you know, different, like just the different nature and different characteristics of these games. We talked about with the men, we've talked about with Jalen Green. Fred VanVleet spoke to it. He vocalized kind of the ways in which some of his teammates are finding that stabilization. So I think that as the series goes along, as it shortens up in you know, days between games, and that kind of wears on the Warriors, I think the additional portion of that is the Rockets' final level of stability there. Can I speak to you about this, though, when you talk about sustainability? There was a point in time where these Rockets were 13 for 13 from the free throw line and ultimately finished 84% from the free throw line. And the reason why I bring this up is, one, to acknowledge that after me and Lopez spent all up and down saying, all right, maybe it's not reasonable to expect them to shoot well, they said, hey, y'all, shut y'all up. You know, shut up, right? We can do this. How comfortable do you feel that they're going to shoot that well from the free throw line continuing?
It's hard to pretend like I feel great about it, because they've been a poor free throw shooting team throughout. So it's not like this just showed up in the playoffs. It's unfortunate that it did show up in the playoffs. And we're really talking about, I think, those two games in Golden State that really stand out, where they miss double-digit number of free throws.
Right.
And it's just and you lose by single digits, or you lose by 3 points, you're like, okay, well, there's the game right there. So I can't pretend like I feel great about it, but I do want to speak to the importance. Like, I don't think we can talk about that enough, of winning the game in the margins or along the margins, and then also specifically for a team that's this offensively challenged or capable of going through the offensive lulls that they do, or even the fact that the shots that they get are not great, or that it seems so difficult, so hard for them to get good shots and good offense on a possession-to-possession basis. I don't feel like a team that's this offensively challenged, and this almost goes without saying, I just want to say it again, like they can go or afford to bypass free shots.
Yeah.
Like every easy bucket that you can get. So when they miss layups, that is maddening.
Correct.
Because they're a team that struggles to get good shots. A layup is a good shot.
It's a great shot. It's the best shot in basketball.
When you miss free, and free throws are pretty close right behind it, because Correct. It's an uncontested shot from a decent distance. When you miss those, that is maddening, because you're like, hey, it's already difficult enough to imagine where the offense is going to come from on a given on a given possession, on a night-to-night basis, on a possession-to-possession basis, if you can't simply hit your free throws, you are this is an uphill stream here.
Yeah, yeah. One more. You talked about margins, and I think this is a margin. And what's funny is I don't have the tools to get to this place, and I'm sure Lopez would be laughing. He might be laughing as he's listening right now that I don't have the tools to actually find this. But one question I've asked myself is, especially with the ways in which he didn't do it last night, but Steph Curry can nuke you. The non-Steph Curry minutes matter so much. Yeah. Like when he is on the bench, can you make them pay for having to sit him down at times? And it felt like, and I'm working off the field because, again, I don't have the concrete numbers on this. It felt like they absolutely made the Warriors pay when Steph was on the bench, which they haven't done as much in this series. I'm very intrigued to see if they can continue to do that and apply pressure in that way, because that's a big margin thing for you. If you can find the places to get your runs, knowing that, as you said, Steph Curry's not going to shoot 4-for-12
right
again. Or if he does, like it's unlikely at the very least, right? So at least counteracting whatever more juice they get from Steph Curry by when he's off the floor, gain all that and more back.
No, I think that's well said. I couldn't put it better myself. You got it 100%. Take advantage of the non-Steph Curry minutes. I would say, kind of taking it from a different angle, that if I'm being discouraged by something and you talk about non-Steph Curry minutes, like the fact that I understand it was the Rockets bench out there as well that was kind of giving up the goods last night. But the fact that their bench was able to do what they were able to do, albeit with you taking the foot off the gas, that they were able to do that at Toyota Center, what does that look like at Chase Center? The non-Curry minutes, the Curry minutes themselves. Like, I expect everyone to play better at home, talking about the Warriors. What does that look like? How do the Rockets respond to that? That everyone is going to be better, more than likely, at home?
Well, I think, all right, so this is a little bit of a take, but I think that what you saw, and probably I would expect you to be more concerned that the starters came in and that lead did not, like, swell up immediately against the Golden State Warriors.
Right?
But I think that's because, and I think we were texting about this a little bit, the Rockets have done so much to drill the game plan, like literally the way that they specifically have to guard the Warriors starters. When their backups came in, like, they're not playing in that same style.
Yeah.
So the Rockets are geared, and they've been playing, the starting Rockets have been playing this very particular brand of basketball that's necessary to beat Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green and Steph Curry and the like. And those guys aren't on the floor, and now you got Trayce Jackson-Davis and Moses Moody and these other folks doing different things.
Yeah,
like it's a change in the way that you were playing basketball that you didn't want to have to do, but you know, Reed Shepard and Aaron Holiday and these folks weren't able to hold it down. So I think it looked worse than it probably was in my mind. But I'm very intrigued to see what of those things are sustainable. But I still feel like, as you have gone through six games and you've been in them in all these games. And the ones that you've won in a way that feels relatively commanding, especially last night. It feels like you really do have a path forward, even as you're the team who is still down in the series 3-2.
Yeah, and you can do these things that you did at home on the road. Like, it doesn't have to be, hey, this was just because we were in the comfort of Toyota Center. Like, you should be able to take advantage of these matchups that you have defensively. You should be able to, you know, make the adjustment to the way that the Warriors are defending you. You've had five games to do it now. So I'm really interested to see how they respond and if they're ready for game six.
Very good, man. It's a fun weekend. Game six, Friday night. But the weekend is not just fun because of the Rockets. Also, we're proud to partner with the Insperity Invitational that's happening this weekend at the Woodlands Country Club Tournament. Of course, Steve Ackler, David Duvall, Ernie Els, John Daly, the most eccentric of them all. They're all going to be there, as well as other PGA Tour champions, some of the best of that particular tour. They'll be at the course right here in town for an incredible weekend of championship golf, teeing off tomorrow. So entry to the tournament is free. Don't worry about paying nothing. You just got to make sure you get out there. And if you want to see score updates, tee times, weather notes, more information, head to InsperityInvitational.com. Coming up next, it is the time where we typically do our lunchtime confessions, and B. Scott here, he wanted to do some confessions, so we'll do that next. I forgot I got to go first. All right, let's get to these confessions, where I have to start with, I have a problem. Like, my confession is straight up, I have a problem.
Do tell.
And I'm kind of glad that Lopez isn't here, because he would get on my keister about it, and I kind of alluded to it in the last segment, right? I started talking about the on-off minutes for Steph Curry and how I don't have that available to me. I know you'll be familiar with this, B. Scott, but I don't know if the audience in general would be familiar with this, because this is more like basketball writers and basketball nerds. There's various kind of sites and services that have like the real deep stats.
Yeah, if you get cleaning the glass, Synergy. A bunch of different places you can
cleaning the glass is the one in particular. And that one, especially because Synergy, it's just you gotta know someone to get in on that one. Cleaning the glass, you just gotta spend some money. During that game yesterday, I got these close to buying that subscription for cleaning the glass.
Oh, okay.
So I can look up. I have a problem.
I am actually more surprised that you don't already have the subscription, because I could see that easily being one of the things that you might spend your disposable income on. Like,
I only got so much of it, brother.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, this job aside, I could see you being into the cleaning the glass numbers enough to have already. So, like, this could almost be a two-part confession on your end. You got a problem because you came this close, but also the fact that you are the basketball or the stat nerd who doesn't have the stat nerd subscription yet.
Well,
it's gonna happen.
I can't fully justify it at this point. Like, I am not so much.
You will. We're 8 months into this thing with your first full time midday. You're gonna get it,
because
you will be. This is our first Rockets playoff run that we're all covering together. I got a feeling that this time next year that the Rockets will be back in the playoffs. I don't know what seed and who they'll be playing against, but Reggie will be giving us cleaning the glass data
giving you some of these advanced metrics. Nah, like for me, I'm like, hey, covering, like, I'm not like Kelly Eco. I'm not like, Big Sarge. I'm not like some of the folks that are on that Daily Beat, Daniel Lerner, who for them, I think it would be advantageous to be able to use that to make some of the arguments that they have to make consistently. Like, I think the conversation that we have about basketball and the Rockets over the course of the season, it's not very often that I need to use those. And oftentimes also, if I need to make an argument like that, someone like a writer would have already done some of that work for me. But yesterday I was like,
I want to one up them.
I needs it.
I need to come out of nowhere with a stat.
I could feel myself scratching the side of my neck. Like, hey, y'all got some more. Y'all got some cleaning.
Y'all got some more of them stats.
Hey, look, you struck a nerve there mentioning some of the other beat writers. I will point out, y'all gonna have to forgive me for. You know, I know this is confessions. I'm gonna speak out of turn here a little bit, but I think them writers, the places where they work, they also pay for them subscriptions. So hey, shout out to Odyssey.
I had not thought about that.
And I know some people in high places. Y'all want to get my boy Reggie a subscription? It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
It will help the show a lot.
I'm just saying, think of it as a long term investment.
I know, you know, the part that would help the show, me annoying the ever living, you know what, out of Lopez with some cleaning the glass stats.
I'd be here for it,
bro. I'm getting him on these regular stats and the ones that I can get off of NBA.com. If I start hitting him with cleaning the glass stats,
he's gonna be like, what? What kind of Windex did you put on that glass?
That's right.
Again?
That's right. It's a Vorp and a Snort.
I, too, have a problem.
Hey! Uh-oh.
And this confession is going to be, I'm going to try to make this direct, because it's a little two-part. Going into this game, going into game five, I did not give the Rockets much of a chance. I'm just going to be honest about it. I felt downtrodden based off of the way those two games went in the Bay. And so I had already looked past game five and was already thinking about the future. And I have done way more Reed Shepard film highlights and literature than I would like to admit.
So you have a cocaine curry problem.
I have a cocaine curry
you like that,
problem.
Huh? You like it?
And look, I don't know if there is counseling or rehabilitation for this type of issue, but I was getting heavy dosage of cocaine curry. What does the future look like? This team doesn't have enough shooting. This team doesn't have enough playmaking. This team doesn't have enough shot creation. They got a dude at the end of the bench that I feel like can do it. And I did way too much cocaine curry consumption over the last couple of days, especially considering how that stuff looked when they put it out there against the Warriors scrubs, right? Like the end of the Rockets bench against the end of the Warriors bench. And it wasn't translating. It wasn't given if you compare it to the amount of copious amounts of cocaine curry I was consuming.
Yeah, man. That was one of the things I was super excited for when we crossed the threshold in my mind of, oh, okay, like this is done. And then relatively soon thereafter, Steve Kerr, made that decision that this was done, which was earlier than I anticipated, but I kind of liked his decision there, knowing that they only have a couple of days and they got old and tired legs over there, to be like, hey, let's get as much rest as we can now, knowing that this one's out of pocket. Steph Curry didn't agree, but it's whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, here comes some Reed. We can get some data. I thought also here comes Zakaria Whitmore, but apparently that's just a different level of issue over there for some reason. But yeah, I was a little disappointed that I didn't get, like, well, we got Reed. We just didn't get Reed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wanted to get a microwave version of Reed. I wanted Reed to go out there and look like the Curry compare, which is a ridiculous comparison, we understand. But there's alliteration with the nickname and we're with it and he can shoot really well. I wanted to see the Steve Nash comparisons come to life even in some garbage time minutes, and it didn't happen. And so, yeah, I was a little disappointed. And really the confession is more so I put the cart before the horse and got way ahead of myself trying to imagine what a lineup with Cocaine Curry and, say, a Giannis Antetokounmpo looks like. What Cocaine Curry and Kevin Durant might look like. I see, did now, way, way, way too much of man, that before that cart, the damn series was even over with.
Hey, that cart is 500 feet back, man. Or that horse is 500 feet back, man. You way ahead.
Yeah, but that's where I was, man. I was that downtrodden by the losses. So, yeah, that is my confession.
I'm glad that you have been pulled out of that space. Maybe, I think, possibly.
I'm wearing Rockets championship gear
that's
now.
Right. We back in it, baby. Yeah. Sorry, my brain, while you were talking about Cocaine Curry, started doing, like, other alliterations. I started going, I was like, Booger Sugar Brent Berry. I'm like, where else can I get to? I'm like, what other shooters can I get? White girl, Wally Zerbiak. See, now, you know what I mean? Like, what can I get to here?
Nash, Nash.
Now you've gone to a bastardization of both Cocaine and Steph Curry. It's like, I went from just being Cocaine and being compared to Steph Curry. Now you're comparing me to a Berry and calling it Booger Sugar? No, man.
This is what happens in my brain.
I got to admit, I, three, have a problem.
Oh, like, we all got problems.
Yeah, this ain't sports related, though. So I went to this crawfish spot yesterday up in Crosby. It's called Johnny's. And every Wednesday, they have all-you-can-eat crawfish.
Ain't no way.
Yes, it is a way. So I got to confess, man, I actually feel good about this, too, because I think the most amount of crawfish I ever ate was like maybe 5 pounds in one setting.
Oh, did we set a new record?
New record, let's man. Go. New record, baby. 10 and a half.
No, are you for Whoa. Real?
10 and a half.
My man blew out his PR by over 100%.
Yeah, man. I don't
know. 200%, rather.
So this is how it goes. So when you get ordered the all you can eat and they start you off with 3 pounds. And he's like, all right, cool. And then once you get finished, I'll do another one, and then they send you another 2 out. And then they send you another 2 out. And at this point, I'm like, I'm in a groove. Now, let me see how far I could get. The last one, I told her to, you know, that's it. I'm tapped out. And she's like, oh, I already put the order in. So I'm like, oh, man. So
you fought through the last one?
I got half of it, man. So 10 and a half. It should have been, it could have been 11. But it's 10 and a half, man.
Yeah, I respect it. And never mind the fact that that's about how much crawfish you got to eat to get full anyway. Like, 10 is
Wait,
a lot.
What are you doing right now? Was that crawfish slander?
No, I love crawfish. Okay, I'm just saying.
I want to be careful.
What I'm saying is I got to eat a lot of it to get full. It's a good thing that I like it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, I got to be in that direction.
Dog, I was stuffed. I'm low-key still stuffed right now, man.
Well, 10 pounds is a lot. 10 pounds of anything is a lot. I mean,
Yeah, so. But I feel good. I feel like a man. I'm like, 10 pounds of crawfish.
Got a lot of people showing some love to Joey's and Crosby, too, so that might be a nice little
Man, that's a
spot.
Great spot, man. We gotta go out there on the Wednesday one day. Just
say less. I'm there. Like, look, if today was still Wednesday, it is unfortunately Thursday, I would be there right now.
It's a pretty good price, too, man. Like, it's not crazy expensive.
Noted.
Yes, literally noted.
You
can
go to another spot and get like 5 pounds for what I paid for it.
Look at this show, how productive it is, Reggie. We done got a crawfish spot. We got a blackberry crown kind of recommendation. So we done upgraded our drink and crawfish life.
And I do appreciate that the 832 sent in Nose Candy Curry. I feel like at that point you go Nose Candy Nash, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're sticking with the alliteration. Nose candy is just funny.
I just want with Hash Nash.
Oh, I like that too.
I'm trying to find Nash. Well, if do we just still do, are we going to any narcotic now?
Yeah, do people still say hash?
I don't. Heroin Harden. Okay.
Heroin Harden.
I don't think that's him. I think we're talking about someone else entirely.
And
now.
Heroin is crazy.
Yeah. That. Oh man.
Yeah. I don't think anybody ever made. Like, there were at times in different points of history where we've made cocaine cool. I don't think heroin ever got there. Like, heroin ain't never been cool. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not endorsing doing no drugs. I'm just saying.
When you get to that point, you got a problem.
Yeah. Now, once we start putting heroin next to your name, we are slandering
yeah, it's
you.
Negative. At that, it's derogatory
it's a,
at
it's
that
a
point.
Slur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did we get here again?
Cocaine curry.
Cocaine curry, and
my confession of having a little cocaine curry problem.
Is Lopez actually a stabilizing force on this show? Is that what I just found out?
Maybe.
Which is wild to think.
That is a crazy thing. All right, those are your lunchtime confessions here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, appreciation to the Men's Clinic for bringing you that. Ganja Green. Which Green, though? Are we doing Gerald Green? You got to tell me which Green we're doing.
Gerald Green.
Danny Green,
Green.
Ganja Danny Green.
And never mind the fact that applies to like probably 85-95% of the league.
Yeah, I was Draymond
like,
Green.
I was like, I don't know. I don't know Gerald Green in a way where I should be able to say this. However, I feel like Ganja Gerald Green might possibly be oxymoron, or might possibly be redundant.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know.
Didn't Draymond Green have blunts at his wedding or something like that? I'm pretty sure.
Did he?
I think you can find that.
That's
go,
very
go
California.
Look that up. And, you know, blunts at the wedding. A blunt bar.
All right. So, Figgy, you're going to have to get on this text line because people are now asking for follow-ups on the Johnnies. 713-572-4610.
It's good, man. It's good.
Is where you'll get those follow-ups. Yeah, yo, Jordan. Oh, you're, okay, I'm done. Coming up next, we got to get to some buy or sell on a Thursday, and we will do it next. Should I continue to encourage such behavior? No. Will I? Absolutely. Ecstasy Mario Ellie came in.
Ecstasy Ellie. Now Mario Ellie's still walking around the building, so I don't know how much that could maybe not go over so well with somebody that's still around the team. You know,
yeah, but, especially depending on how you feel about ecstasy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because at one point it was cool to do it, but as the years goes on, it's kind of
Yeah, we would have to get Mario and Gina Gaston online or on board with that.
Sure.
In line with that before we could go with
but
that
I think
one.
What should be understood of all of this is that it comes from a very good, or at least a well-meaning place all the way to start with. Yeah. Ultimately, if it's a no, it's a no. I get that.
Good is relative. And but well-meaning, yes.
Well-meaning, yes.
What's funny is we was doing the whole cocaine curry thing all because he's white and cocaine is white.
That's right.
So now we just in the hard drugs.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to, sometimes you do what you need for the bit. And my favorite to this point from the 832, Marijuana Maravich.
That's kind of smooth.
It is.
That's kind of smooth.
Because now you're getting the white on the Maravich side.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know
see
what I mean?
Yep.
And the marijuana is just there for a time.
Yeah.
And for the alliteration.
And, you know, it's moving out of certain schedules. So, there's also some within that. Did I accomplish anything? I have no idea. So let's try and accomplish something here by doing a little buy or sell. How does that sound?
I can get with it.
Okay, very good. All right, so are you buying what these various folks in sports are selling you? I guess this is weird because the roles are reversed. I'm typically buying and selling. You five fellas are buying and selling. And you, dear listener, 713-572-4610. That is how you play a long. All right. So Mike Borgingo, I believe is how his name is said. I always mispronounce it. I read it rather as opposed to saying it most of the time, but he is.
I tend to trust you with the names,
but yeah, that's a mistake in this instance. But the Titans general manager is who this is. He says that Will Levis remains on the Titans for a particular reason, and that is to provide competition for Cam Ward. Buy or sell that Will Levis is providing competition for Cam Ward?
Only if, like, what does competition mean? He's not providing competition in the sense that, hey, he's going to beat Cam Ward out, but could, you know, playing alongside somebody that has, or competing with, quote unquote, somebody that has been in the league for a couple of years, could that, you know, the whole iron sharpens iron thing that we talk about here in Houston, could they do that? Yeah, I could see it being competitive, relatively speaking. So, no, I don't think he's competing for his job, but is he competing in the sense of making his teammate better? I could see that. I'll go ahead and maybe reluctantly buy that one. I'll buy it.
I love y'all so much.
What's so funny?
From the 281, Molly Maloney.
Oh, Molly Maloney. We've got one. We've got a winner.
I should not be doing this. I'm gonna get a call about this. Figgy, are you?
What's the question?
We got a winner. Too bad this. Yeah, there we go. I'm gonna say too bad this damn thing don't work.
It's not that it don't work. You don't understand how it works. You're blocking the bell. There you go.
Well,
I was trying to get it close to the mic.
What's the question again?
That's a great point. The Titans general manager says Will Levis remains on the Titans in order to provide competition for Cam Ward by herself.
I'm kind of buying it a little bit, man. I think competition as far as like, hey, you're a rookie, so we ain't just going to hand it to you, even though they just going to hand it to him. Like, he's already better than Will Levis.
Brother, I'm selling the mess out of this, bro. Not only are they handing it to him, they had Warren Moon do it. Like, he literally handed him the starter job with the number one with the jersey when he handed it to him.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to split hairs here, but this is why words matter in this thing that we do with words, and we just kind of call competition competition. And we look at it as, hey, they're competing for a job. I don't think that's even what they mean, because that's stupid, right? Like, that's not what's happening.
Which is fair. Okay.
Like, he's not competing for a job.
Certainly.
And I don't even look at it as them handing him the job. I feel like he earned the number one pick based off of the landscape around him and what he did in college and what's going on with the quarterback position for the Titans. So I don't even almost look at it as I feel like this is just the next step in their evolution. And no, they're not competing for a job, but competing or being around somebody that's been in the league help you. Yeah, I could see that. But no, we're not talking about, hey, Will Levis beat out Cam Ward. That's just crazy.
And that's so even if you go away, because I agree with your sentiment here that the actual job is not at risk. But even the idea that, hey, you're going to get out here and get pushed by Will Levis, I don't think that that's actually happening either, right? Like, I don't believe, and I'm not saying that, like, Cam Ward isn't of the certain caliber, but I think also it kind of inherently has to be tied to the job, because what pushes you is the threat of losing this job.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? Like, fair. I don't know that that's actually what's happening here. So, yeah, man.
This is just
the thing that you say now, I guess.
But also, as a keen Texans observer, which we all are, it is hard for me to just completely knock Will Levis, because it ain't like I didn't see him come to that stadium right there down the road.
Oh, man, why you got to bring that up, man?
And dog walk the Texas defense. Oh. I'm just saying, it happened.
Bringing up old stuff.
It happened. It did.
The pass is the pass.
Literally, his last throw was a bomb.
I'm just saying. So. It did happen. So it's just hard from the seat that I sit in to be all just dogging Will Levis, who obviously earned losing his job.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So seems like there's a lot of selling happening here. All right. Buy or sell. And you were here, or you were at Toyota Center last night for that Rockets game. Draymond Green was going back to game four now.
Okay.
Where Draymond Green was confused when it came to the Tari Eason on-court skirmish. Tari Eason apparently saying that we talked. He was like, if I was going to kick you in the head, I would have done it on purpose, I guess. So with that being the case, Draymond Green did not intentionally kick Tari Eason, according to Draymond Green. That's just kind of how his legs work. Buy or sell?
I sell it. Like, I think it's probably more so I'm not intentionally kicking you. I'm just not intentionally not kicking you. You know what I mean? If you know what I mean, like, I'm not going to go out of my way to move my legs away from you. But, I mean, you can play that thing over and over, and Draymond Green just does not have the equity build up for whatever reason, doesn't have control of his legs, not trying to kick people in the nuts. Not trying to stomp somebody in the chest. Not trying to stomp on Tari Eason's head. Don't buy it. I'm selling that 100%.
Yeah, I'm selling it too, man. Like just looking at his highlights, I don't even want to call them highlights, but his highlights are just playing reckless.
His sizzle reel.
Yeah.
His sizzle reel of nut kicking and head stomping and chest stomping.
Yeah, tackling people and all that stuff, man. It make total sense on why I feel like this is BS and he can't control his legs. Nah, man, you can't even control your damn body at that point. Because, dog, you sitting there he actually have NFL highlights.
And how about this, though, on the buy or sell point? It ain't like you can intentionally kick somebody in the head. Draymond Green ain't no fool. He told over here talking about, if I wanted to kick you out, I just kicked you. Man, the only time he done something like, if I wanted to intentionally do that, I'd do that, was when he punched Jordan Poole in practice. But all them other times that happen on the court when the cameras are on and he knows the cameras are on, he doing it in some kind of slick way Because he know he can't just on purpose kick you in the nuts. It's got to be, oh, it's an accident. I didn't know where my legs was going. Man, you know.
And you're right that, like, you probably just can't be out here admitting to it, right? That's a level of heinous on top of it. However, I'd have a lot more respect for him.
But no, what I'm saying, not that you can't admit to it. You can't do it so obviously purposefully, right? Like, there,
well, apparently you can.
There's a savviness. Well, he also doesn't see what we see because it looks so obvious and transparent when he does it, and we all see it. But, like, for him, he's just trying to, in a sly way, let me just rest my legs on the back of this dude's heads real quick, and I can make it look like, oh, this is just incidental contact. Nah, we know better, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly, I'm selling. Clearly, I'm very, yeah, very much on, selling. Man. All right,
he should sell that his damn self. Get out of here with that, Draymond.
I just can't believe it. Draymond's
a lot of things. He's not dumb. He is not stupid.
He's actually a really smart player, man.
Exactly. Exactly. So get out of here with that. Get out of here.
I will enjoy when he's no longer playing and he just gets to be like a media member. There will be some infuriating parts of it, but like the information and the thought process that he brings to it, and he is entertaining. But I would just very much like to get a little bit away from this portion of his personality because it's deeply annoying.
Yeah.
All right. As we continue, buy or sell. Seems like everybody's in the same place with the Draymond Green one, which just had to be. Like, that was very, very obvious. How about this? Bill Belichick. We've talked a lot about him being on CBS. Was it CBS Sunday Morning? Is that what the actual show is?
That was it.
With the interesting little sun logo on there that I never understood why it is that way. But that's neither here nor there. He did that interview.
Sunday, maybe? I don't know.
And we did a lot. We did a lot of talking about his girlfriend, Jordan, and all those things. But I want you to buy or sell the particular thing that he was there for, his book. The interviewer got to one of the most obvious parts about this is, hey, this is a book about your career and everything. And a lot of your career, especially in your notoriety, happens in New England. The owner of that team is Robert Kraft. And you ain't mentioned him one bit. This is a little bit clip of what Bill Belichick's response was to not having to the question of why wasn't Robert Kraft in your book anywhere.
I have to ask about Robert Kraft because 24 years together, 6 Super Bowls. Unless I'm wrong, he's not in this book. How come?
He's not. Well, again, it's about my life lessons in football, and it's really more about the ones that I experienced directly.
But he's not even in the acknowledgement section.
Correct.
Buy or sell, why Robert Kraft is not in Bill Belichick's new book.
Yeah, I'm going to I'm going to sell that there's nothing to it. Like, it's just selling that this wasn't a personal shot. That's what I'll do. I will sell that this was not personal for him to not have Robert Kraft in there. They've been around each other for way too long, had gone through way too much, like not just the Super Bowls themselves, but the story from here to there, from beginning to end for the Patriots and the Belichick, Kraft, Brady era. Yeah, that's I'm definitely selling that. Selling that.
Yeah, I'm selling it too for the same reason, man. Like, dog, y'all, how many Super Bowls they got together? And you can't even put the man in the book at all? Like, it's like he don't exist at all.
Yes,
I feel like it's something else, and it's definitely a shot.
Yeah. One of the things I love about this in particular is, and you can work with people and not like them. It happens from time to time. But I do love, this is a fantastic, good capital J journalism by the interviewer on the backside being like, he not even the acknowledgments.
Not even acknowledgments, though.
Yeah. One Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. But Belichick is like, and what about
it? Yeah, he could have easily lied and said, oh, yeah, you know, of course I acknowledge what he's done for me. And da-da-da. He was just like, correct.
Well, I would have loved if Belichick responded with like, Robert Kraft ain't writing nothing in this book. He ain't put no pen to paper. He ain't helped me come up with this concept. He ain't coached Nan down. Get Robert Kraft.
Why does it even matter if his book doesn't include the owner? I don't know that it actually does. It's just it feels like it's a clear indication that y'all don't like each other. And it's okay to not like each other.
And we've been saying that for a little bit. Like, it was some issues going with his exit from New England.
That's right.
So now this just confirms it.
Yeah, right. This is just commentary.
That's why we're talking about
it. This is just our commentary on the pettiness. We're not saying that it actually matters or anything. It's just, it is a notable petty moment.
That's right. And
it's a confirmation.
Petty. It's one of the reasons why I love listening to Pain and Pendergast when they get that petty cast going. Petty is funny to me. And just like that was. Appreciate you guys doing a little buy or sell with us here on a Thursday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Let's circle back around to the Texans. We were talking about Nick Caserio doing a little bit of talking. He talked about this offensive line as well, including giving us an update on offensive linemen that we don't frequently hear about. Let's do a little bit of that next.